Welcome to our deep dive into the fascinating science behind how reading shapes young minds.
Absolutely.
You're curious about the benefits of reading for kids? And, well, we've got a stack of research to explore.
What do you do?
Studies, articles, even some expert insights. And
yeah,
it's really amazing what we've uncovered about reading's impact, not just on learning, you know, but on brain development.
Yeah.
And even emotional intelligence.
Yeah, it really is remarkable how reading goes beyond just decoding words on a page.
Right.
It's a process that literally shapes the way children think, learn, and interact with the world around them.
Okay, so let's unpack all this.
Yeah.
First up, how does reading actually build young brains?
Yeah.
I always knew it was important, but I'm really curious about the science behind it.
Well, one of the key concepts here is what researchers call the scaffolding hypothesis.
Okay.
A 2019 study by Wang and his team really digs into this.
Okay.
They looked at a specific area of the brain called the superior temporal gyrus.
Oh, wow.
The STG, which is crucial for how our brains process the sounds of language.
So that's the part that helps kids link letters to sounds when they're first learning to read.
That's it.
Okay.
And what Wang's study found is that kids with more activity in that STG area during sound-related tasks
mm-hmm.
were the ones who made the biggest strides in their reading ability.
Wow. That makes those nursery rhymes and sound-heavy picture books even more important than I thought.
Absolutely.
We're literally building those brain pathways from the very beginning.
Exactly. It's like laying the groundwork for everything that comes later.
Wow.
And here's where it gets even cooler as kids become more skilled readers.
Okay.
Their brains actually become more efficient.
Hold on. Efficient how? Do their brains get bigger?
Not necessarily bigger.
Okay.
But more streamlined.
Okay.
A 2014 study by Houston and his colleagues found that skilled readers actually have less gray matter in a specific region of the brain.
Wait, less gray matter? Isn't that a bad thing?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's actually a sign that the brain is becoming more specialized.
Okay.
Think of it like a sculptor chipping away the excess stone to reveal a beautiful statue underneath.
Okay.
The brain is pruning away unnecessary connections and strengthening the ones that are essential for reading.
So it's like their brains are decluttering and becoming super organized.
Yes.
Just from reading.
Precisely.
Wow.
And this efficiency has amazing implications for learning.
Okay.
It allows skilled readers to process information more quickly and effortlessly,
mm-hmm.
freeing up mental resources for other tasks.
Oh, wow.
Imagine having a computer with a super fast processor.
Right.
That's what's happening in the brains of proficient readers.
That's incredible. So reading doesn't just teach kids about things. Oh. It actually changes the way their brains work.
Exactly.
Wow.
And here's where the environment a child grows up in plays a huge role.
Okay.
A 2006 study by Noble and colleagues highlighted how socioeconomic factors come into play.
Uh-huh.
They found that kids who come from homes with lots of books and engaging conversations around language
show more consistent brain activity related to language processing.
So having access to books and being surrounded by language really makes a difference in how kids' brains develop.
It makes a world of difference.
Wow.
It's like providing fertile soil for those neural pathways to flourish.
This makes me think about the importance of libraries and creating language-rich environments for all kids, regardless of their background.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It underscores the importance of providing equal opportunities for every child to develop a love of reading and reap those incredible cognitive benefits.
Right.
And this brings us to another fascinating aspect of how reading shapes young minds.
Yeah, it's not just about the brain power boost, right?
Right.
I'm really interested in how reading helps kids develop their attention and those executive function skills everyone's always talking about.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Reading isn't just about absorbing information. It's about training the brain to focus, manage information, and
right.
make decisions.
Right.
All those crucial executive functions.
Okay. I have to admit, the term executive function always sounds a bit technical to me.
Sure.
Can you break it down in a way that makes sense for parents like me?
Of course.
Okay.
Think of executive functions as the air traffic control system of the brain.
Okay.
They help us manage all the incoming information, prioritize tasks, make decisions, and control those impulsive urges we all have.
So it's like having a super organized personal assistant in your head, keeping everything running smoothly.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what's fascinating is that research suggests reading is like sending that personal assistant to a training boot camp.
Yeah.
It strengthens those executive function muscles, making them more efficient and effective.
Okay. I'm starting to see the bigger picture here.
Good.
So when a child is engrossed in a book,
yeah,
they're not just following a story.
Right.
they're also exercising those mental muscles that help them focus.
Yes.
Control impulses and make good decisions.
Precisely.
Wow.
And those skills are essential not just for academic success, but for navigating everyday life.
It's like they're building a mental toolkit that will help them in school and relationships and really in every aspect of life.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the amazing thing is that these benefits extend far beyond childhood.
Well,
studies have shown that maintaining strong reading habits throughout life can actually protect against cognitive decline as we age.
So reading is like a lifelong brain booster.
It is.
That's amazing.
It is.
But let's get back to those practical tips for parents.
Sure.
We've talked about routines, shared reading, and modeling positive behavior. But what else can we do to nurture a love of reading?
One strategy that often gets overlooked is the importance of choice.
Oh, okay.
Letting kids have a say in what they read can make a huge difference in their engagement.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I remember being forced to read certain books as a kid.
Right.
And it felt like a chore.
Yeah.
But when I stumbled upon books that genuinely interested me, it was like a whole new world opened up.
That's the key.
Yeah.
It's about tapping into their passions and curiosities. If they're fascinated by dinosaurs, find them age-appropriate books about dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
If they love to cook, look for cookbooks designed for kids.
Right. And don't be afraid to let them explore different formats, too.
Exactly.
Graphic novels, comics, even magazines can be great gateways to a love of reading.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The goal is to make reading feel like an adventure, not an obligation.
I love that.
Yeah.
And this reminds me, we were talking earlier about how reading can boost those executive functions.
Right.
Could we dive a little deeper into that? I'm really curious about how it all works.
Of course. Yeah. Remember how we discussed that the left middle frontal gyrus is more active in proficient readers?
I do.
Well, that area of the brain acts like a command center for executive functions.
Mm-hmm.
It plays a key role in things like planning, decision making.
Right.
And self-control.
Okay, so it's like that part of the brain is getting a workout every time we read.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the more we exercise those mental muscles, the stronger they become.
Yeah. So reading isn't just about escaping into a good story. It's about equipping ourselves with the mental tools we need to navigate the real world.
Exactly.
That's like building mental resilience, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the benefits are not just for kids.
Okay.
Studies have shown that maintaining strong reading habits throughout life can actually help protect against cognitive decline as we age.
So reading is like a fountain of youth for our brains.
Kind of.
Yeah. But let's go back to those practical tips for raising readers.
Okay.
We talked about routines, shared reading, and modeling positive behavior.
Right.
But what else can parents and educators do to foster a love of books?
One often overlooked strategy is the importance of choice.
Oh.
Letting kids have some say in what they read can make a huge difference in their engagement.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I remember being forced to read certain books as a kid.
Right.
And it felt like a chore.
It did.
But when I discovered books I was interested in, mm-hmm. it was like a whole new world opened up.
Exactly. It's about tapping into their passions and curiosities.
Mm-hmm.
If they're obsessed with dinosaurs, find them age-appropriate books about dinosaurs.
Mm, yeah.
If they love to cook, look for cookbooks designed for kids.
And don't be afraid to let them explore different genres.
Absolutely.
Graphic novels, comics, even magazines can be great gateways to a love of reading.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The key is to make it feel like an adventure, not an obligation.
I love that.
Yeah.
And remember, reading doesn't have to be a solitary activity either.
Right.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah.
What are some ways to make reading more social and interactive?
Well, there's the classic book club format where kids can get together and discuss their thoughts and feelings about a short book.
It's a great way to encourage critical thinking and develop those communication skills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for younger children, incorporating storytelling into playtime can be a lot of fun.
Oh.
They can act out scenes from their favorite books,
uh-huh.
create puppets based on the characters, or even draw their own illustrations.
Those are fantastic ideas.
Yeah.
It's all about making reading an active, engaging experience.
Right.
Rather than something passive that just happens in a quiet corner.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the power of technology.
Oh, right.
There are so many amazing apps and websites now that offer interactive reading experiences, audiobooks, and even personalized recommendations based on a child's interests.
Technology can definitely enhance the reading experience.
It can.
But it's important to use it mindfully, right?
Right.
We don't want screen time to completely replace those precious moments of cuddling up with a physical book.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about finding a balance.
Right.
Technology can be a fantastic supplement to traditional reading.
Uh-huh.
But it shouldn't become the primary mode of engagement.
Speaking of engagement, let's circle back to the emotional intelligence aspect of reading.
Okay.
We talked about how reading helps kids develop empathy. But how does that actually work? I mean, it's not like they're magically transforming into more compassionate people just by turning pages.
It's a process, of course.
Okay.
But the key lies in the way stories allow us to step into someone else's mind and experience the world from their perspective.
So it's like a mental simulation of what it's like to be someone else.
Yeah.
To feel their joys and sorrows, mm-hmm. their struggles and triumphs.
Exactly.
And the more diverse the characters and perspectives we encounter in books.
Yes.
The broader our understanding of the human experience becomes.
Absolutely.
That's why it's so important to expose kids to books that feature characters from different backgrounds, cultures, and walks of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It helps them develop a sense of global citizenship and recognize the shared humanity that connects us all.
And that's a pretty powerful lesson to learn, especially in today's world.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's not just about fostering empathy and understanding. Mm. It's about cultivating a sense of belonging and breaking down the barriers that divide us.
So reading isn't just a personal journey.
Right.
It's a pathway to building a more compassionate and inclusive society.
Precisely.
Wow.
And that brings us to a really intriguing aspect of reading's impact on emotional intelligence.
Okay.
How it can actually help kids learn to manage their own emotions.
Okay. This is where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
Because we all know that life isn't always a fairy tale.
It's not.
How does reading help kids cope with the tougher stuff?
Just think about it this way.
Okay.
When we read about characters facing challenges,
mm-hmm.
overcoming obstacles,
yeah.
and dealing with difficult emotions,
right.
we're essentially getting a crash course in emotional resilience.
It's like those characters are our virtual mentors, showing yeah. us how to handle tough situations with grace and strength.
Exactly. Right. They model coping mechanisms, problem-solving strategies, and ways of processing complex emotions that kids can then apply to their own lives.
It's like they're getting a sneak peek into the emotional playbook of life, all within the safe confines of a story.
And that can be incredibly empowering,
yeah.
especially for kids who are going through their own challenges.
It's like saying, hey, you're not alone in this.
Yes.
Other people have gone through similar struggles and come out stronger on the other side.
And that sense of connection, of shared experience, can be profoundly comforting and validating.
Plus, it helps normalize the full spectrum of human emotions, right? It shows kids that it's okay to feel sad, angry, frustrated, or scared.
Right.
And that those feelings are a normal part of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And by seeing characters work through those emotions in healthy ways,
right.
kids can learn valuable strategies for regulating their own emotional responses.
It's like they're building a toolkit for emotional well-being,
yeah.
one story at a time.
And that toolkit is something they can carry with them throughout their lives.
This is all so fascinating.
It is.
It makes me want to revisit all my favorite childhood books and see them through this new lens.
It's amazing to see how those stories we loved as children can have such a profound impact on us, even as adults.
Speaking of stories, you mentioned earlier that our source material actually includes some book recommendations.
It does.
Now that we've seen how reading literally transforms kids' brains.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear about some books that can help make that happen.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's a fantastic curated list for each age group.
Uh-huh.
From babies to preteens.
Okay.
And what I find particularly interesting is the emphasis on variety and inclusion.
Yes. Because every child deserves to see themselves reflected in the books they read.
Exactly. The benefits of exposure to diverse literature are well documented.
Right.
It fosters understanding, breaks down stereotypes, and broadens children's perspectives.
So for our listeners, with little ones ages 0 to 3,
yeah.
what are some standout picks?
For that age group, we have timeless treasures like Goodnight Moon.
Okay.
Perfect for bedtime routines.
Right.
And The Very Hungry Caterpillar, which introduces counting and basic vocabulary.
Okay.
Peekaboo Morning is another great one.
Okay.
Fun and interactive.
Yeah.
It's perfect for boosting memory and keeping babies engaged.
Those are classics for a reason.
They are.
What about for preschoolers and those just starting elementary school ages 3 to 5?
Where the Wild Things Are is fantastic for that age group.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about exploring emotions.
Right.
Which can be a powerful experience for young children.
Yeah.
Press here is another fun one that encourages interaction and develops fine motor skills.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
It's so engaging and playful.
It is.
And what about something with a bit of humor?
Dragons Love Tacos is a hilarious pick for that age group.
Oh, fun.
It introduces kids to different cultures and shows them that reading can be pure fun.
Okay, those are some great picks for the younger set.
Yeah.
What about for kids ages 5 to 8?
For that age group, we have Charlotte's Web.
Oh, a classic.
A classic tale of friendship and empathy that also tackles some tougher topics like loss.
Right. The Magic Treehouse series is another great option.
Oh, yeah.
It brings history to life through exciting adventures.
Oh, I loved those books as a kid.
Me too.
They made learning about history so much fun.
They did.
Anything else for that age group?
Last Stop on Market Street is a beautifully written and illustrated story about appreciating the simple things in life.
Okay.
And seeing the good in your community.
Okay.
It's a wonderful choice for fostering gratitude and a sense of belonging.
Okay, now, for those who are getting into chapter books ages 8 to 12,
yeah,
what are some of the must-reads?
The Harry Potter series is a classic choice for this age group.
Right.
It offers a world of imagination and tackles themes of courage and standing up for what's right.
Uh-huh.
Percy Jackson is another popular series that brings Greek mythology to life.
Oh, fun.
While celebrating diversity and teamwork.
Those are definitely popular choices.
They are.
Anything else that might broaden their horizons a bit?
Wonder by R.J. Palacio is a must-read for this age group. I've heard good things.
It teaches valuable lessons about acceptance and empathy for people with differences.
That one always gets rave reviews.
It does.
And I know our source material emphasized the importance of multicultural and multilingual selections.
Yes.
What are some standouts in those categories?
The Name Jar beautifully illustrates the importance of cultural identity.
Oh.
It's a great choice for sparking conversations about embracing our differences.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama's Nightingale offers a poignant look at the immigrant experience.
Okay.
A topic that's especially relevant in today's world.
Those are both excellent choices.
They are.
What about something bilingual?
Marisol McDonald Doesn't Match is a delightful bilingual story that celebrates being unique and embraces cultural pride.
That one sounds like fun.
It is.
And this is just a small sampling of the incredible books out there for young readers.
Absolutely.
There are countless amazing stories waiting to be discovered.
There are.
But it's not just about having the books right. It's about creating a culture of reading at home and in the classroom.
Exactly.
And our source offers some excellent tips for parents and educators on how to do just that.
It does.
Establishing routines like a nightly bedtime story
mm-hmm.
is a great way to make reading a consistent part of a child's life.
It is.
And engaging in shared reading, where you read together and discuss the story,
right.
is another fantastic way to build those connections and keep kids excited about books.
And don't underestimate the power of modeling positive reading behavior.
Oh, that's a good one.
Children are more likely to embrace reading if they see the adults in their lives enjoying it, too.
It's all about creating that positive association with books and making reading a fun, rewarding experience.
Exactly.
And speaking of fun experiences,
yes.
let's not forget about our local libraries.
Absolutely.
Yes. Libraries are treasure troves of knowledge and adventure.
They are.
And taking kids there regularly exposes them to a vast world of possibilities.
Not to mention, it's a great way to spend quality time together as a family.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
And I feel like we're just getting started.
We are.
There's so much more to explore when it comes to the power of reading and its impact on young minds.
There is.
So we'll save that for the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good. Welcome back, everyone. It's amazing to think about how something as simple as reading can have such a profound impact on the way children learn and grow.
It really is. And I'm ready to keep unpacking this research. Yep. In the last part, we were talking about those executive function skills.
Yes.
And how reading can actually strengthen them. Can we dive back into that a bit more? I think I'm starting to understand it, but I'd love to hear more about how it all plays out in real life.
Absolutely. Remember, we compared executive functions to the air traffic control system of the brain.
Right.
Helping kids manage information, make decisions, and resist impulses.
Right. Like that mental personal assistant who keeps everything running smoothly.
Exactly.
But how does reading actually train those skills?
Well, think about what happens when you read. You have to focus your attention on the words on the page, block out distractions, and follow the sequence of events.
Mm-hmm.
All of these actions engage those executive function muscles.
Okay, I see that. So even just following a storyline is like a mini workout for the brain.
Exactly. And as kids progress to more complex texts, they have to hold more information in their minds, make inferences, and analyze characters and plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
These are all higher level executive function skills that reading helps to develop.
So like their mental muscles are getting stronger with each page they turn.
That's a great way to put it.
Wow.
And these strengthened executive functions have a ripple effect on other areas of their lives.
Okay.
It's not just about acing those reading comprehension tests.
Right.
It's about having the mental tools to succeed in school, build healthy relationships, and manage everyday challenges.
Okay, so it's not just about academics. It's about building those life skills that help them thrive in all areas.
Precisely. And these benefits aren't limited to childhood either.
Oh, really?
Research suggests that maintaining a habit of reading throughout life can actually protect against cognitive decline as we age.
So reading is truly a lifelong brain booster.
It is.
That's amazing. But let's circle back to our deep dive's focus, raising young readers.
Okay.
We talked about the importance of choice.
Yes.
And making reading an adventure, not an obligation. What other strategies can parents and educators use to nurture that love of reading?
One powerful approach is to incorporate reading into playtime.
Okay.
Instead of treating reading as a separate, structured activity, we can weave it into the things kids already love to do.
Oh, I like that. So how do we do that?
For younger children, it could be as simple as acting out scenes from their favorite stories or creating puppets based on the characters.
Okay.
Even something like drawing illustrations of what they've read can deepen their engagement and comprehension.
Those are great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bringing the books to life, which makes the experience so much more interactive and fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about for older kids who might not be as into pretend play?
As kids get older, you can encourage them to start their own book clubs with friends,
right,
where they can discuss their favorite reads and share their opinions.
Uh-huh.
This not only keeps them engaged with reading, but also helps them develop those critical thinking and communication skills.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
It turns reading into a social activity, which can make it even more enjoyable.
Exactly. And don't forget about the power of technology.
Oh, right.
There are so many amazing apps and websites now that offer interactive reading experiences,
yeah,
audiobooks, and even personalized recommendations based on a child's interests.
That's true. Technology can definitely open up new avenues for exploring the world of reading.
Yeah.
But it's important to use it mindfully, right?
Right.
We don't want screens to completely replace those cozy moments of cuddling up with a physical book.
You're right. It's about finding a balance.
Okay.
Technology can be a fantastic supplement to traditional reading.
Right.
But it shouldn't become the primary mode of engagement.
Okay. I'm definitely taking notes on all of this. Now, I'm also really curious about the connection between reading and emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
We touched on this earlier.
I did.
But I'd love to explore it further. How does reading actually help kids develop empathy and understand their own emotions?
It's a fascinating process.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful ways reading fosters empathy is by allowing us to step into the shoes of characters who are different from ourselves.
So it's like a mental simulation of what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes.
Yes.
Experience their joys and sorrows,
uh-huh,
their struggles and triumphs.
Exactly. And the more diverse the characters and perspectives we encounter in books,
right,
the richer our understanding of the human experience becomes.
That's why it's so important to expose kids to books that feature characters from different backgrounds, cultures, and walks of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It helps them see the world through multiple lenses and develop a deeper understanding of the common threads that connect us all.
And it's not just about empathy for others, right? I remember you mentioning that reading can help kids understand and manage their own emotions.
Yes.
Which seems especially important in today's world, where there's so much pressure and stress.
That's a really crucial point.
Okay.
Think about it this way.
Okay.
When we read about characters facing challenges,
yeah,
making mistakes,
uh-huh,
and learning to cope with difficult emotions,
right,
we're essentially observing a masterclass in emotional resilience.
So it's like those characters are our virtual mentors showing us how to navigate the ups and downs of life.
Exactly.
Okay.
They model healthy coping mechanisms,
mm-hmm,
problem-solving strategies,
right,
and ways of processing complex emotions that kids can then apply to their own lives.
It's almost like reading gives them a sneak peek into the emotional playbook of life, all within the safe confines of a story.
And that can be incredibly empowering,
right,
especially for kids who are going through their own struggles.
It's like saying, hey, you're not alone in this. other people who face similar challenges and come out stronger on the other side.
And that sense of connection,
right,
of shared experience, can be profoundly comforting and validating.
I love that. It normalizes those difficult emotions and shows kids that it's okay to feel sad, angry, or frustrated.
Yeah.
And that those feelings are a normal part of life.
Precisely. And by seeing characters work through those emotions in healthy ways, kids can learn valuable strategies for regulating their own emotional responses.
It's like they're building a toolkit for emotional well-being,
yeah,
one story at a time.
And that toolkit is something they can carry with them throughout their lives.
Absolutely. And this brings us to another fascinating aspect of reading's impact on emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The power of storytelling to help kids develop self-awareness and a sense of identity.
Ooh. Sounds interesting. How does that work?
Well, when children immerse themselves in stories,
yeah,
they're exposed to a wide range of characters,
uh-huh,
each with their own unique set of values, beliefs, and experiences.
Uh-huh.
So it's like they're getting a glimpse into different ways of being in the world.
Exactly. And as they encounter these diverse characters, they begin to ask themselves, who do I identify with? What values do I share? What kind of person do I want to be?
It's like those stories are holding up a mirror, reflecting different possibilities back to them.
That's a great way to put it. And through this process of exploration and reflection, children begin to develop a deeper understanding of themselves, mm-hmm, their strengths, and their values.
This makes me think about the importance of diverse representation in children's literature. The more varied the characters and perspectives they encounter, the more opportunities they have to see themselves reflected in those stories and to explore different facets of their own identity.
You're absolutely right. It's about providing windows into different worlds and mirrors that reflect the beauty and complexity of their own experiences.
Okay, all of this is really making me want to revisit my own childhood favorites, mm-hmm, and see them through this new lens. I bet I'll discover all sorts of new layers of meaning and appreciation.
I encourage you to do so. It's amazing how those stories we loved as children can continue to speak to us in new and profound ways as we grow older.
I'm already making a list of books to revisit, but for now, I think we need to pause our deep dive.
Okay.
And let all of this incredible information sink in. We've explored how reading impacts brain development,
right,
executive function, emotional intelligence, and even identity formation.
It really is remarkable how something as seemingly simple as reading can have such a profound and lasting impact on young minds.
No, we're not done yet. We still have so much more to uncover.
Stay tuned, listeners. We'll be back soon to continue our exploration of the fascinating world of reading and its power to shape young minds.
Welcome back, fellow explorers. We're diving back into that world of reading and its impact on young minds.
Absolutely.
So far, we've uncovered some pretty amazing insights about brain development, emotional intelligence, and even identity formation.
Yeah, it really is remarkable to think about,
right,
how something as simple as reading can have such a profound impact on the way children learn and grow.
And in this last part of our deep dive, I'm really excited to kind of shift our focus to something that's probably top of mind for many of our listeners.
Okay.
Practical strategies for nurturing a love of reading in kids.
Yes, let's translate all this amazing research,
right,
into actionable tips that parents and educators can use in their everyday lives.
So where do we begin?
Yeah.
What are some of the most effective ways to create that reading-rich environment we've been talking about?
Well, one of the simplest yet most powerful things we can do,
okay,
is to make books readily available and accessible to children.
Okay.
Think inviting reading nooks, baskets of books in various rooms, even a designated book corner that changes with themes or seasons.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like sending the message that books are a welcome part of everyday life,
yeah,
not just something confined to bedtime or quiet time.
Right.
It's about making them an integral part of the environment.
Exactly. And remember, reading aloud isn't just about books.
Right.
Sharing recipes while cooking, reading street signs on walks, even looking at labels at the grocery store. All these seemingly small interactions contribute to a child's literacy development.
It's all about bringing language to life,
mm-hmm,
and showing kids how words have power and purpose in every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely. Another tip I often share with parents is to incorporate reading into playtime. Instead of treating reading as a separate structured activity,
yeah,
why not weave it into the things kids already love to do?
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So for younger children,
yeah,
it might be something like acting out scenes from their favorite stories.
Exactly.
Creating puppets based on the characters, or even drawing illustrations of what they've read.
Exactly. Those kinds of activities help solidify those neural connections and
right.
deepen their understanding of the story.
It's like bringing those stories to life, making them multi-sensory experiences. What about for older kids who might not be as into pretend play?
As kids get older, you can encourage them to start their own book clubs with friends. It's a great way to keep them engaged with reading while also helping them develop those critical thinking and communication skills.
That's a fantastic idea. And it creates a social connection around reading, which makes it even more enjoyable.
Speaking of social connections, let's not forget about the incredible resource we have in local libraries.
Libraries are truly magical places.
They are.
They offer so much more than just books.
Right.
They have events, workshops, and even technology resources that can enhance the reading experience.
And it's a wonderful way to connect with other families who share a love of reading.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of practical tips here.
Mm.
And I'm curious, is there anything that parents or educators should try to avoid doing? Are there any common pitfalls that might hinder a child's love of reading?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
One of the biggest mistakes we can make is to force kids to read books they're not interested in.
Right.
It can create a negative association with reading and make it feel like a chore rather than a pleasure.
Oh, I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
I remember being assigned certain books in school.
Right.
And I just couldn't get into.
Right.
And it made me dread reading altogether.
Exactly. So instead of dictating what they should read,
yeah,
try to provide them with a wide variety of options and let them choose what sparks their interest.
Right.
Remember, even graphic novels, comics, and magazines can be valuable stepping stones on the path to becoming a lifelong reader.
That's such an important reminder.
Yeah.
It's about fostering that sense of autonomy and letting kids discover the joy of reading for themselves.
Absolutely. And another thing to keep in mind is that reading doesn't have to be a solitary activity.
Oh.
Encourage kids to share their favorite books with friends, siblings, or even stuffed animals.
I love that. It reminds me of those special moments when I would read aloud to my younger brother when we were kids.
Mm-mm.
It's a way for us to connect and share those stories together.
And those shared experiences can create such powerful memories and associations with reading.
Okay, so we've talked about what to do and what not to do.
Right.
But I think it all boils down to this. Raising a reader isn't about forcing kids to read.
Right.
It's about cultivating a genuine love of reading.
And that love of reading, once ignited,
right.
can illuminate a child's path for a lifetime.
Exactly. It's about opening doors to new worlds, new ideas, and new possibilities.
It is.
It's about fostering a sense of wonder, a thirst for knowledge, and a lifelong love affair with the written word.
So, dear listeners, as we wrap up this deep dive, we encourage you to embark on this journey with the young people in your lives. Create those reading nooks. Visit those libraries. Share those stories. And most importantly, let the magic of reading unfold organically.
And remember, the most powerful way to inspire a love of reading in kids is to be a reader yourself. Let them see you engrossed in a book, talk to them about what you're reading, and share your own passion for the written word.
Because when children see the adults they love and admire embracing the joy of reading, they're more likely to follow suit.
So true. And as you navigate this exciting path, we'd love to hear about your experiences. What are some of your favorite strategies for fostering a love of reading? What books have ignited a spark in your children or students?
Share your thoughts, insights, and book recommendations with us. Let's create a vibrant community of readers who inspire and support each other.
Until next time, happy reading.